Bloomberg Audio Studios. Podcasts, radio, news. You're listening to the Bloomberg Balance of Power podcast. Catch us live weekdays at noon and 5 p.m. Eastern on Apple CarPlay and Android Auto with the Bloomberg Business app. Listen on demand wherever you get your podcasts or watch us live on YouTube.
Another story we've been following this week, Joe, which is the attempt at least to freeze federal loans and grants by the Office of Management and Budget. It was blocked by a judge last night, that news breaking just before you went to air in the late edition of Balance of Power. And now, according to The Washington Post, the White House has rescinded that initial order.
Yeah, which is interesting. If you listen to the White House press briefing yesterday and then the clarifications that followed from the likes of Stephen Miller, they were calling it a media hoax that it was being framed in that regard, unable to answer some questions about programs that would be affected. Now the whole thing is being rescinded, so we have a lot of questions at this hour.
Yeah, so let's see if we can pose some of them to Bloomberg's Mike Dorning, who is now joining us in our Washington, D.C. studio. So, Mike, obviously this has been incredibly fast-moving. There was a lot of uproar on Capitol Hill about whether or not the move the White House was trying to make was actually legal, considering we're talking here about funds that were appropriated by Congress. If the order is rescinded, does this end there?
It maybe ends this chapter. It just all feels like the Muslim ban that came out quickly when Trump came into office, and then they kind of did something different that was a little bit more tailored. This OMB order that came out last night, you know, I was talking to people who administer the food stamp program, and they were that morning, and they're like, well, we can't tell you whether our stuff is frozen or not. Yeah. So this caused a lot of chaos because it hadn't sort of run the gamut. It might be they've rescinded it because they're really not going to do it, or it might be they've rescinded this order and going to take, you know, the chaos that this caused into consideration and do a new order that's a little more clear and a little more targeted.
Either way, this is apparently what was needed to light the fires for Democrats. Hakeem Jeffries calling an emergency caucus meeting at this hour to start drafting plans here, a three-pronged strategy to fight back. It's time, I guess, to lock arms here for Democrats. How do they answer it?
Well, I mean, they're just rallying their troops. There's really not that much they can do unless they get some Republicans to go along with them. But they can mobilize a public opinion. They can mobilize important political actors. Now, what was happening yesterday is there's all sorts of critical services, school lunches. You know, I talked with people who administered the school lunches around the country, the School Nutrition Association, and they were saying, we don't know whether we're going to get the reimbursements that we get. So what do you do with your school lunch program? It hit so many different segments of society that then they can now mobilize them. Also, obviously, President Trump and others noticed, so they're probably tacking one way or the other.
So that's the Democrat side. I am also struck by the fact that Republicans don't seem to be too bothered by Donald Trump kind of stepping on the power of the purse, if you will, and their congressional authority to appropriate funds, knowing that an appropriations battle is looming. They have to figure out how to fund the government by mid-March. They have to figure out a budget reconciliation package. What does this portend about the way in which they will just be going along with whatever in terms of government spending Donald Trump would like to see?
So there have been, in the way most Republicans responded to this was sort of saying, just, you know, if Trump does it, it's a good idea. They were not pushing back at all. And in fact, some people who did push back slightly on the Republican side got their knuckles wrapped by the White House. That said, I'm not sure that it's really going to cure these internal divisions within the Republican Party when it comes to spending and what they want out of the tax package. It's quite likely in the end they will come together on that, but there's going to be a lot more twists and turns. And there are people on the Republican side who are hardcore about wanting a lot of spending cuts, and there are other people from other districts that are hardcore about not wanting too many important services to get touched too much. And those are inherent conflicts. and it will take a while to overcome them. In this Republican retreat, it didn't look like they got that far on that.
Or anywhere, according to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Did you see this?
She tweeted out a tweet.
After 2 days at our House Republican winter retreat, she writes, "We still do not have a plan on budget reconciliation, and our speaker and his team have not offered one." She says that's not even a one or two bill framework, even though Donald Trump literally told us here he doesn't care. So is it not Mike Johnson's job now to answer with the plan?
Mike Johnson has to come up with something. But remember, Mike Johnson did have a plan. It was one bill, and John Thune had a plan. It's two bills.
We're going to arm wrestle this
out? So the House and the Senate have different views on this. You know, there is a party leader that sort of outranks the two of them, and he didn't want to take a side on this. I think that Mike Johnson is especially careful about not alienating too many Republicans because his position is so tenuous that he's got to just wait and work it out slowly.
That one vote margin is a killer.
Yeah, no doubt. Marjorie Taylor Greene writes, "Just get started doing something," which might hit home for a lot of lawmakers in Washington right now. Mike Dorning, thank you so much. Reporting for Bloomberg.
You're listening to the Bloomberg Balance of Power podcast. Catch us live weekdays at noon and 5 p.m. Eastern on Apple CarPlay and Android Auto with the Bloomberg Business app. You can also listen live on Amazon Alexa from our flagship New York station. Just say, "Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
For Donald Trump's selections to fill out the cabinet. The president, of course, choosing Howard Lutnick for Commerce and also RFK Jr. for Health and Human Services. RFK Jr. trying to get to some of the criticism that he anticipated in answering questions when it comes to food, for instance. By the way, he said he supports the polio vaccine,
and
supports
measles.
Other vaccine, measles, yes. And he said he does not want to take people's food away from them. Cue the Big Macs. Here's what he said.
"I don't want to take food away from anybody. If you like a cheeseburger, a McDonald's cheeseburger, a Diet Coke, which my boss loves, and you should be able to get them. If you want to eat Hostess Twinkies, you should be able to do that. But you should know what the impacts are on your family and on your health."
As we distill what we heard from RFK Jr. and, of course, the senators on the Finance Committee, we welcome Lisa Jarvis to the program, columnist for Bloomberg Opinion, covering biotech, healthcare, the pharma industry, everything that we've been talking about, and clearly a skeptic. Lisa, welcome back. The headline on your column today says it all. RFK Jr. is changing his tune. Don't fall for it. He did speak in softer tones, if you will, about vaccines. But of course, many of the Democratic senators primarily were replaying comments that he had made in podcasts. There's a long list of comments that he's made about vaccine policy. Are you looking at this any differently now that you've heard him speak?
You know, thank you for having me. I'm not. I think what he was doing today was trying to take a strategy that he's taken in the past by positioning himself as not being anti-vaccine, but pro-vaccine safety. You heard him say this: "I support vaccines. The only thing I want is good science." What he's trying to do here is suggest that the science that exists on our vaccines isn't sound, when in fact it is. It's a strategy that sounds really reasonable and I think can persuade people, but allows him to talk about this as if he's not trying to take anything away or couldn't have a deleterious effect on public health. So it didn't change my mind. We'll see what it does with senators. I think that he didn't do a great job with trying to convince anyone that those weren't his views.
Well, when he says things like, "I'm not trying to take anything away," can you just speak to us, Lisa, about the actual power he would have if confirmed to be HHS secretary to take things away? Or are we just talking about recommendations changing, for example, not actually the inability to access these vaccines?
Right. Actually, changing the recommendations would put these vaccines out of reach for folks. So as head of HHS, he would be responsible for picking the makeup for a committee. And it gets kind of wonky here. And this is where the public might not see that he is actually sort of crafting policy around vaccines behind the scenes, but he's responsible for the makeup of a committee that just makes the recommendations for what vaccines we take, who should take them, how often we take them. And so that committee got mentioned just sort of in the background a few times today, but right before we came on the air, he mentioned it himself and talked about how 90% of the people on that committee had conflict of interest. And so he wants to get that out. To me, that says that he may change the makeup of that committee. The reason that matters is because that committee's recommendations shape actually how vaccines are covered by insurers. It also can embolden states to pass laws that make it easier for parents to, for example, get an exemption from childhood vaccines. All of that is coming at a time when we're already seeing a drop off in childhood vaccination rates and increasing levels of hesitancy in the U.S.
Yet, Lisa, we keep hearing he likely has the votes. This likely will be the next health secretary. So doesn't it come down to what Donald Trump wants? We heard this repeatedly from RFK Jr. and from Howard Lutnick today. I serve at the pleasure of the president. Does Donald Trump want to question Operation Warp Speed, some of the vaccines that emerged from his own administration? Does he want to stop eating Big Macs, for instance? Aren't these the questions that we should be asking?
No, and I agree with you. And there are a few moments in today's hearing that, you know, raised alarm bells for me. And you know, not to shift topics, but, you know, a lot of the questions had to do with abortion access and the abortion pill mm-hmm. mifepristone, which has been, you know, of course, a point of contention ever since Roe fell. And, you know, one thing that concerned me was that RFK repeatedly said that he was just asked by Trump. Trump hadn't decided his position on mifepristone, but he asked RFK to review the science. So we know he's going to be using the same kind of lens and analytical mind that has given him the wrong conclusion on vaccines and applying that to things like mifepristone. Mm. So that's worrisome to me.
Well, we've already seen the mifepristone question in the courts as well, Lisa. To what extent could litigation act as a check on some things that the Trump administration, through HHS and presumably a Secretary Kennedy, would try to do?
Well, I think one thing that he could do that, you know, I think the courts would not be a check on is that, you know, he would, of course, would oversee FDA. FDA has rolled back some of the restrictions on access to mifepristone. I think appropriately, the science shows that it's safe to do so. A lot of the questioning today was around reintroducing those same restrictions. That would essentially cut off telehealth access to mifepristone. That has been an important way that women in states with bans have been able to get the drug, whether within their own state or by traveling to another state just over the border. So that would be a real problem. It could help, could prevent access to women who live in states where abortion is legal. So I think there are ways that that could really inhibit access to abortion. It would be, you know, sort of like using FDA to kind of prevent access to everyone, not just people who live in states with bans. Mm-hmm.
Just quickly, Lisa, while you're with us, there seems to be this take in Washington and among many Democrats of, well, we don't like this vaccine stuff. But hey, if he gets the food dyes out of the junk cereal, maybe that's a good thing that he can bring to the table. Do you expect that will happen as he discuss scrutinizing the chemical additives in our food supply? What will he do with them?
I mean, I love the idea of making America healthy again if we are doing it in a way that makes sense. I think what concerns me is his ability to analyze what the actual root cause of the problem is. He mentioned in the hearing today that, you know, chronic diseases and that, you know, no one is working on them in the government. All you need to do is look at the NIH budget to see that that's a intense area of research in clinical investigation. So, you know, I think it's a point of common ground, but senators should be asking themselves whether he has the right strategies to actually improve our health. And I worry that he does not.
All right, Lisa Jarvis, great to have you today. She's Bloomberg Opinion columnist covering biotech, healthcare, and the pharmaceutical industry, joining us here on Balance of Power. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Balance of Power podcast. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find us live every weekday from Washington, D.C. at noontime Eastern at Bloomberg.com.